Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Strategies of Success. You know, today's show, well, let me rephrase that. Let's not even use the word show. I don't even like that. Today's program. You know, and why not show? Because if we are putting on a performance out there, people see that. You might think that, oh, you're a great performer, and people don't know that you're, quote unquote, you know, living beyond who you are and putting on this facade. They know. Trust me, they know. Now, I am a big believer in living, let's say, a step ahead of yourself. In other words, you envision where you want to be. That is the way to grow. You envision who you want to become. You envision the money that you're going to earn. You envision, and this is probably the most important thing, the impact that you are going to have. But that's not putting on a facade. That is understanding who you are, where you want to be, and the value that you provide. Our guest today is going to talk about that because that's what he did. He saw who he was, where he was, where he wanted to go, and he did what he needed to do to get there. And I find those stories absolutely fascinating. But he didn't just stop on that achieving something, and then he took that next step, which continued to be phenomenal because where that next step took him was helping folks, everybody, to live in that world that he lives in, you know, that world of abundance where anything in life is possible regardless of what those circumstances are. So let me just start by this and saying to you, do not put on a show. Be who you are, understand who you are, and get there. So who are we talking to today? We are talking to Dr. Will Moreland, who started out in a challenging environment and then grew from there. Dr. Moreland, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And if it's okay, let's go a little less formal. We'll call you Dr. Will. Is that good?
That's perfect, Brian. And let me just say thank you so much for having me on the show, the program. I am excited to be here with you and your audience.
This is why you need to be careful with words, folks, because I was thinking show. I mentioned show. Show comes up, not show. Let's go program. But isn't that the case? You know, if you meet somebody and you see that they're not exactly who they are, they're just putting on a performance. And it's funny, I spoke about that last night when I was giving a speech about how important it is not to give a performance, but to give a presentation and to be true and true to the audience, not using all kinds of gimmicks to make it happen. But you see that when you're speaking to people, and where do you find that, where is that line, I guess, between doing a performance and living a little bit beyond or being a little bit beyond where your current status is?
You know, I think it comes from your true intention, and this is what I tell people all the time. There is a fine line, Brian, because a lot of times we could get some information. Let's say you gave me some information, and this information happens to be truthful. This information happens to be information that could help someone else, but it may not be in my life as of yet. It may not be a reality in my life. Does that change? That is the truth? Should I hold it back from someone else because it's not reflective in my life? Maybe that bit of information may be the missing piece that they needed so they could realize this new reality. And so I think if you come with a true heart of intention, you can still convey a message that may not always be reflective in your life, but it doesn't take it away from being true. I think if you're just truthful in your heart and truthful with your intentions, it doesn't change the truthful information.
And you've lived through that, you know, in your bio, and there's so much in that first page on your website to just discuss, you know, let me start with that. You know, you grew up in a quote-unquote challenging environment, and you can go into as many details as you'd like on that one. You know, but if you're starting someplace and you want to go beyond that community, which is realistically what you wanted to do, you had to start thinking beyond where I'm at and where I want to be.
Exactly, Brian. It all starts in your mindset. You have to begin to have a different mindset, and a lot of times you get that mindset developed by the things that you say, by having a vision board, by writing it down in your journal, and you begin to communicate what you want to see in life. Even if it's not true right now in your life, you don't talk about what you don't want, you talk about what you do want. And obviously growing up in Compton, California, at a time where Compton was said to be the worst city in America. So think about the images that I was seeing on a daily basis. Think about the information that I was hearing on a daily basis. I had to make the decision, and I had to make the choice that my start in life wasn't going to determine my finish. And the way I did that was really shaping my mindset. And the way I began to shape my mindset was by the words I began to tell myself. And I always used to tell myself, Will, this is not the end of the story. This is not how the book is going to end. Listen, there's another chapter. There's many more chapters in your life. But I had to be willing to close one chapter and open up a new chapter. Brian, one of the things that I always see is people keep reading the same chapter over and over, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a spouse cheated on you, whether you didn't grow up with your father or your mother. You know, my father was a drug dealer, and I met him for the very first time when I was 7 years old, and my mom took me to visit him while he was in jail. Now, I had to reframe the story that I thought about my father. I had to reframe that experience of growing up in this type of polarizing environment. I had to start to search for the good in this environment. So although my family didn't have all the, you know, toys and all the monetary things, I had to say, well, what did we have? Well, I had a grandmother who loved me. I had a mother who loved me. I had a sister who loved me. I was surrounded by love. I was surrounded by good intentions. My grandmother and my mother did the best job they could to teach me how to be a respectable young man. So I stopped focusing on all the things as a child that I didn't have, and I started embracing what I did have. And when I started embracing what I did have, Brian, I was able to start building on that building block. And now, years later now, I can now look at those times. Even though they were challenging, I could see the beauty in the challenge.
You know, it's interesting the way you phrase that, because I'm involved with a couple of groups that have to do with different physical challenges, whether it's health-related or actual physical situations that, you know, that people have gone into, you know, on the drug side of things. And sometimes those situations do shape us, and we become, I don't know if it's better, but it's definitely different people, and they become motivational at some point in time. And it sounds like your story is exactly that. Your situation at one point finally crossed that line, where you crossed over that line where it became a motivational thing for you to say, all right, you know what, this is the way it is. I'm going to find the good in people, or as those three women have absolutely did, you know, they started filling your mind with all the positives, and you're like, that was the changing point for you, just to focus on that. So it's not so much as what we're limited, either physically or health-related or, you know, situations we get into. You know, it's where we find those strengths from within that and then move forward and then continue on.
That is exactly right, Brian. You know, and you mentioned that some of our friends who are maybe challenged with a physical something, I've seen them do remarkable things because they stopped focusing on. I was in the military, and this is real life story. I was in the military. I had a military buddy who, while we were deployed, ended up getting injured while we were deployed, and he ended up losing his leg. And he went through that. He went through being depressed. He went through feeling bad for himself. He went through the anger of losing his leg. And as we were talking, and I began to tell Michael, I said, Michael, listen, you can go the rest of your life. You're young. We were in our 20s. I said, you can go the rest of your life complaining about the one leg you don't have, or you can go the rest of your life living your best life with the one leg you do have. And when he began to change his mindset, he was able to realize that he had a limitation, but he wasn't limited. He had a limitation, but he wasn't limited to a great life. And he began to craft out a great life for himself. And even to today, he travels the United States speaking to other veterans that have experienced the same type of thing. And he shows them life is not over. Life is still worth living, whether you have two legs or one leg, whether you have one arm or two arms. Life is whatever you've experienced in life, I'm here to tell you today that life is worth living. We live in a spectacular world, but whatever you start to focus on, that's what's going to grow in your life. So if you have this negative thought and you're always focused on this negative thinking, then you're going to continue to have negative experiences. But when you begin to think from a positive environment, now, this is not to say negative things aren't going to happen for you or happen to you, but I can guarantee you a negative situation is made worse with a negative mindset. A negative situation with a positive mindset, you can endure it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, it becomes one of the great life's greatest learning experiences. When you never look at failure as pure failure, you look at it as a learning experience, something you can take away from and then build on from. It's like, you know, I learned I'm not going to do it that way again. I'm going to find the positive in that situation, and there generally is something that you did right. You know, 100% failure, I'd be surprised if anybody really does that, if you take a look, and then learn from it and move on. So good stuff. You know, you mentioned about, you know, this your reading that's over here. You read 500 books. I mean, that's an amazing thing to do. 500 books is like so much, and everybody complains, oh, I don't have the time. Found the time, you know, to read that many books. Is this something that your grandmother, I got a feeling it's your grandmother that inspired you to start reading. Am I right, wrong, or different?
You know, it was. It's my mom and my grandmother, and I have to be honest with you. Even till today, I wouldn't say, now this is going to sound funny, but I wouldn't say I'm an avid reader. What I found out, though, Brian, I fell in love with the results of what reading did for me. When it began to expand my mind, when I found out that the more I read, the more my mind expanded, the more I read, the more I was able to relate to different people. I've had the pleasure of traveling to over 40 different countries, and my reading is a big part of that because it helped me open up from where I grew up in this little, you know, community where everybody looked like me and everybody sounded like me and everyone talked like me. When I opened up a book took me around the world. A book got me into someone else's experience. A book provided me with different insights and different perspectives. And so I really love, like I tell people this all the time, I don't know too many people who love to actually go to the gym and work out, like really enjoy it. But what I have found out is when they look in the mirror, they love the result. They love looking at the six-pack. They love looking at their toned body. And for me, that's what reading was. I love what it did to my mind. I love the perspective that it provided for me. And so even today, and I've read, added to that 500, maybe another 200 to 300 more books because I'm just in love with the result. I love how I feel after I read the book. I love the knowledge that I get from it. And, I mean, books are just so powerful.
That is great. It really is. And what a great reason to update your bio. Oh, well, 500 books. Ah, that was the old me. I'm now up to 700, 800, 1,000 books. Guinness Book of Records. How many books have you read over a lifetime? 1,000 books. I don't know what the number is on that one, folks. But don't quote me on statistics as to what the most amount of books read by a single person are. But, you know, that's it. And, you know, on the reading books, audio books also a part of it. You know, we talk about that audio, the car university. And that wasn't my comment. Somebody made that a long time ago. But listening to books versus, you know, reading books, it's just the same. It's really a matter of learning from the experiences of others as you're going through, whether you're reading about it or listening to it. You also big on the audio books?
I'm big. You know, I was going to mention that. I mean, turn your car into a online, you know, a on-road university. And that's not even the audio books that I've listened to is not even included in those 500. I mean, if I'm on an airplane, I used to live in Europe, and so traveling from Europe to the United States, I would have like something like 10 hours, 11-hour plane ride, and it just was so advantageous to have the audio books there. I could listen to 2 to 3 books on those plane rides, and even now when I'm driving around, I mean, either I'm listening to an audio book, if you're familiar with Success Magazine, they provide you with a monthly CD, so I'm listening to that, and then I'm just, Brian, I don't know about you, but with the onslaught of the Internet and the information that's on the Internet via podcasts like yours and the ability to listen to this type of information, you know, all throughout the day, I mean, I'm just enamored. I'm in, like, loading heaven with all of this that's possible.
No, that's right. Even, you know, they put a little, another acronym by your name, you know. Dr. Will Morland, the sponge of information. And how important it is for that information to come in, because you're absolutely acting upon it. And it seems like so much of what you're doing, you know, besides the one-on-one coaching, but it seems like a lot of what you're doing has to do with the teams. You know, you're giving presentations in front of a group. You have the different retreats that you do. It's a group thing. You seem to focus a bit more on the group effort, more so than the individual.
Well, what happened years ago, maybe about 10 or 12 years ago, this is the, when we talked about earlier about the results of reading, well, what happened was a lot of people started seeing the results in my life, and a lot of people knew my story. They knew I started from Compton, California, knew I was raised from a single mother, knew my father's story, and they knew me. I got in trouble as a teenager, and so everyone kind of knew my story. But what happened was they started seeing the results in my life, and so many people started asking me, okay, what really was it? How did you change your life? How did you go from point A to point B? And what happened was I found my day just being filled up with trying to help as many people as I could. But what I found out was I was running out of hours in the day. There just wasn't enough hours in the day. And so I started thinking, how could I most effectively reach more people? How could I most effectively do that? And it started out with writing books. And so I started writing books, and I started saying, okay, I'm going to put my message and my information and my insight in books. And then from people reading the books, people said, okay, we want more. And so from there, that's when I started assembling these type of think tanks or these masterminds, the concept that Napoleon Hill talked about in his book, Think and Grow Rich. I said, okay, well, let me put some of these together and see if people will respond in a group setting. And thankfully, people started responding. And so I have now the pleasure of going all around the United States and some countries around the world and having what we call these exclusive one-day masterminds. I just recently came back from Dallas. In a couple of days, I'm on my way to Washington, D.C. And so that's it's filling up a lot of my time now. And I'm just excited to see all these people getting it and being able to transform their lives as well.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. You mentioned about the going to the gym, working out, standing in front of the mirror, getting to see those six-pack abs, which I haven't seen mine in a little while. But, hey, you've inspired me. We'll start going back and working on that. I justify walking. And it's a good way to get cardio, exercise, and health, and something I could do forever. But, you know, besides that aspect of it, you know, that looking in the mirror, when you're doing the group exercises, we are all kind of looking in the mirror because we see something in all those other participants that is something that you either want to emulate or something that we've done. So the group does tend to support itself with the right people. And I guess that's really the golden question over here. But the group tends to support itself, and it takes on its own momentum. But finding the right people, you know, I know the message is out there, you know, everybody can live in a world of abundance, but sometimes people are just not coachable. They're just not ready for that. So is there, you know, that's somewhat of a challenge that you may run across. But, you know, if you do meet somebody that thinks they're coachable but not coachable, is there a way to help them take that step over the line where they become much more receptive to different ideas?
Yeah, so one of the things that I do, Brian, with a lot of my clients, and I've learned this by dealing with my own self, I found out that I was my biggest obstacle, because whenever you're trying to move forward, Brian, what you mostly consider is your present and your past. So when we're trying to create this future, it's really hard for most people to see this glorious future because they may have had this egregious past, or they're looking at their right now, their current situation. And so one of the things that we have to do is I get them and I take them through this little process. And so I ask them, let's choose the future you want. What is the future you want? Let's choose it. And so we take some time, and I get them to really start visualizing what is their best life look like. What does that look like? And as they begin to explain to me and as they begin to write it down, now I have to say, okay, let's look at your present and let's look at your past. What pieces of your present and what pieces of your past are going to come with us into this new future? And we have to look at it and we have to say, okay, this is to come and this isn't going to come. Why isn't this going to come? Because this is not going to serve me in my future. It's not going to help me in my present to get me to my future. And so it could be something like a divorce. Let's just use a divorce. Most people are still telling themselves the same narrative. I'm a divorcee, and the reason why I can't get forward is because she divorced me or he divorced me and they left me with the kids or they left me in debt, da 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 da. Well, this type of talk and this type of mindset is not going to serve you. So this doesn't get to come to the future. So we're not going to talk about this anymore because it doesn't serve us anymore. And it's a process that I take them through. And once you kind of figure out what gets to ride in the car goes a lot faster. Most of us, our cars are too bogged down for us to move. And so until you start emptying out the trunk, emptying out the back seat, emptying out the glove compartment, then you can begin to get onto your road of success. But it is a process, and we take them through this process to get them to visualize their future, and then they have to decide what gets to come and what needs to stay.
And that is where your the whole idea of that living in victory every day while getting engaged, is that the basic premise behind the whole thing? It's that, you know, you really got to know who you are, where you're going, and live that life?
And that's it. And I tell everybody, it's a choice, right? To live in victory every day, it's a choice. You have to make this declaration. Now, that doesn't mean everything is going to be rosy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be met with challenges. But what it does mean is that I'm committed to a better life. I'm committed to not being a victim, but I'm committed to being a victor. And once you make that declaration, now you start telling your mind, you start saying, listen, I may have lost the battle, but I haven't lost the war. And so one bad thing doesn't, you know, so many people, Brian, give you an example. You know, you'll go to maybe an eatery or something like that, or even someone's listening here, you go into your job. You know, someone may experience something like they spilled some coffee, you know, they spilled some coffee on their shirt, and they just blow it out of proportion. And this happens at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they've already determined at 8 o'clock in the morning that they're going to have a bad day. The moment they spill the coffee, they say something like, oh, it's going to be one of those days, I can tell already. Instead of saying, well, I'm thankful that I didn't hurt myself, burn myself. I did spill it on my shirt, but this is shirt one of maybe 50. So I'm thankful that I have another shirt. I'm thankful that I have the money to get this shirt washed. So it's a mindset that has to be developed that says I'm going to search and I'm going to be intentional about finding the good, like we said earlier, in this situation. And if you're intentional about it, whether someone cuts you off in the morning on your way to work, well, at least you're driving. You could have been walking. You could have been on the bus. At least it wasn't an accident. So there's always a good in every situation. And I know someone's listening to me right now, and they're saying, nope, there's not good in every situation. What about when your parent dies, or what about when this happens? Even in that, there's good. It goes back to, what are you focusing on? I've had people, my grandmother, my father, I've had people in my life die, nephews that died, sisters have died. And what I had to ask myself and what I had to really look at is say, you know what? I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to have them in my life at this amount of time. Yes, I wish I could journey along with them more, but what am I going to think about? I'm going to concentrate more on the time we had and the memories we created versus the time I'm not going to have them. And that's what we talk about, memories for a lifetime. So this is why I tell people, if there's people in your life that you love, start creating memories right now that are going to last a lifetime, because none of us are promised the next day. And when you live your life like this, Brian, I'm telling you, you're able then to live in victory every day.
That absolutely sounds like a great roadmap, you know, for people to live on, you know, and finding that positive, either the positives in a person that you want to take with you forever, And that is probably the greatest compliment in the world that you could give to somebody, even after they pass, by taking their best attributes and making that, incorporating it into yourself, because then that person never does pass away. The body disappears, but the spirit is always with you. And you always have a constant reminder of that person, and you are a better person for it, really a better person for it. That's an absolutely a great message that you delivered there. So, you know, thank you so much. You are an accomplished author, speaker. You won an award in 2015, you know, as one of the best speaker of 2015, as well as diverse, and you're also a diversity, leadership, and inclusion leader, author. You're out there. You're doing all of those retreats. You're doing everything. It's fantastic that you are. But with the books, can you describe a little bit about the theme of the books, which obviously has got to do with accomplishing anything you want, and how can we find those books? Because we only have a couple of minutes left.
Okay, so, yeah, the books are really just an extension of my everyday life, right? And so I talk a lot about positive thinking. I talk about motivation. I talk about relationship management. So we have books on relationship management. We have books on finances. And so as a leadership life trainer, I really take a holistic approach, and I look at a person's entire life. How can you be successful in your entire life, not just successful in your job or in your business, but successful in your health, successful with your relationships and your family and things like that. So the books that I've written, they cover a gamut, because when I look at a person's life, I look at them in their entirety. And so those are the books I write, a lot of leadership books. One of the books that I'm really excited about, if I could just mention it here, is a book that I wrote for the military community, for military leaders. And you can go to the website, willmoreland.com. And what we're doing right now, I'm traveling to 4 bases this year. And what I'm asking all of my friends to do and all of my associates to do is donate a book to a veteran and a military personnel. And as I'm traveling, I would love to be able to give out as many books as I can. And so if you just go to my website, willmoreland.com, click on the Veterans tab at the top, and you'll see the book there, and you can donate a book to a troop. And that's how you can find me. I would love for everyone listening here to at least donate one book, and that would be a tremendous help to this tour that we're doing on these military posts.
That's great that you're doing that. There's so much more that we can be and should be doing for our military personnel that is not being done. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, when they're coming back from serving in whatever capacity, you know, the assimilation back into, you know, the business world, the civilian life. And there's so much that our military persons, you know, can be giving people. And you happen to be one of those prime examples of that. Things that you have learned all along the way from a holistic standpoint. You know, you're looking to share with everybody. And I know your website, and the website, willmoreland.com, has a tremendous amount of information on there. You have blogs. You're constantly updating different information. People can go to the website to sign up for different things also.
They can get on our mailing list each month. We don't spam you or anything like that. I just try to provide you with information that's going to make your life, your career, and your business better. So you don't have to worry about, we're not sales pitchy or any of that type of stuff. I just try to give out content that I believe that could help you in your everyday life. So you can also sign up there at willmoreland.com. If you have an organization you would like us to come out and speak or train, you can get all that information at willmoreland.com. You can follow me on social media everywhere at Will, at Dr. Will Speaks. It's Dr. Will, DrWillSpeaks, at Dr. Will Speaks, everywhere on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, everywhere social media is, I'm there at Dr. Will Speaks.
Yes, you are. And let me tell you, I've enjoyed visiting each of those pages and seeing the different information, and it's all great. Dr. Will, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your story. Because it's stories like you that are so inspirational to people and the actionable ideas that people can take. And again, thank you so much for joining us. I do look forward to, you know, to seeing you speak at different places, reading the books, and even attending one of your retreats.
Brian, thank you so much for everything that you're doing, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your audience today on our program. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you. Absolutely my pleasure. All right, so we always want to end these programs with three actionable ideas. And perhaps I started out with the first one over there is that, you know, you're not doing a show. You're not getting out in public and putting on a show. And you don't even want to do that to yourself. You don't want to be who you are not. You want to have your own program. You want to figure out who you are and stick with that. And Dr. Will came up with a great idea about, you know, making a list of those people that have that you want to take along with you, their attributes, who they are, the best part of folks, the best part of everything that you're doing, we're doing, and try to assimilate that, you know, into who you are and who you want to be, and dump the stuff. If you spill coffee on your shirt, get rid of the shirt. That's it. Put on another shirt. Be grateful that you do have additional clothing that you can put on and that you can continue on your day, but start your day and keep that day going in a positive note. And the other thing, 700-plus books, man, that is phenomenal, not including the audio stuff. Be a sponge. Do what he's doing, man. You got to get information into you, all kinds of information, because you don't know where that's going to take you, where you're going to be able to incorporate that into your life, into a conversation with somebody. And I'll give you the fourth actionable idea. We'll break tradition here. Go to his website. You definitely want to stay in touch with Dr. Will Morland because he is on the move. He's got some great information, different ways that you can be in touch with him also. And the website, again, is willmorland.com. And my name is Brian Cohen. This is Strategies of Success. Find your strategy. Incorporate that into who you are, and you will find success.